So glad you're all here this morning. My name is Luke, one of the pastors at Westgate. If you are a guest here with us, welcome. We're so glad that you're here this morning. If you're watching, participating online, hope that you feel God's blessing with you today. I did want to add one announcement to what Pastor Becca shared, is that we are pushing the limits of this lovely parking lot that God has given us on Sundays. So especially on a day like next Sunday when our kids are singing in church, wanted to just let you know about the other options in case you wanted to tuck this away. 8th Avenue up here just to the north is a good option for parking if you've got boots and you can do the walking. Or you can turn in on 5th Avenue just to the south and take a first right. There's actually like a little cul-de-sac thing that we can take over on Sunday mornings and park in there and then come. Okay. So if you're feeling like you want to be proactive and supportive of your less mobile neighbors or something, and you want to do that for us, that's beautiful. If not, you come in and you can't find a spot, those are your next best options, okay? It's good. Processing, locking in. All right. Lovely to be here this morning. We're starting a brand new sermon series called Christmas Presents. And if you haven't had enough coffee yet this morning, you might notice that that's a play on words. If you haven't read the slide yet, you'll notice that it's presents. See what we did there? Christmas presents, where the whole world might be focused on what presents you're giving to each other. We want to focus on the presence of Jesus. Eh? Yeah, good. We're rocking it. We're feeling good. Yeah, nice. The English language is so much fun to play with. That's good. So to start with the series off, I wanted to share a little illustration with you all. And it reminded me of two things that happened to me within the last couple of weeks. One is that our 3-year-old Liam had basketball practice for the first time ever, which that's like a whole situation in and of itself, watching this take place. But this high school student that they had hired to coach this 3-year-old basketball team was trying to teach them how to shoot the basketball, okay? Which is just a fail on all levels. Like, just why are we even bothering here, okay? But what she taught them was to make a W out of your hands when you pick up the basketball and to shoot it. And I was thinking, well, that makes sense for a little kid to do that or whatever. And then I found myself sitting in the gym, hanging out in the gym last week, taking a little break. Kevin, I promise I work hard. I promise. Just taking a little break. I had grabbed a basketball, and I was a youth pastor. Like, I've played a fair amount of basketball in my life, but I'm terrible, right? So I'm here. I'm like doing like the Anthony Edwards, like, ooh, yeah. And I'm missing, just miss all the way. And I was like, well, maybe if I try. So I tried the W thing, and I started making shots, and I was like, oh, like that, she was right. Like, that's actually what you're supposed to do. If you've ever played, maybe you know that or don't know that. Anyway, so that was one experience I had. The other experience I had is I play chess on my phone, which, don't judge me, okay? I can play chess on my phone. It's a good mental relaxation, okay? But I'm not good at that, okay? I've known how to play chess since I was a kid, but I, like, lose more often than I win, kind of a thing. And then I realized that this app on my phone actually has lessons you can take. And so I was sitting there laying in bed one night, and I was like, okay, fine, I'll try it. And so I tried this, like, basic strategy of chess lesson that they did, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Like, right? And I was like, this is amazing. And then I started winning more, not a lot, but more, right? The point of that whole thing is that sometimes, even while we get later in life and we think we know the things that we know, we have to go back to basics, okay? And if we realize we can understand the basics, then everything starts to line up, okay? So to start this Christmas present series, I wanted to start a little basics of theology lesson, Christian theology lesson with you, okay? And it has everything to do with this ladder that I brought up here, okay? Sorry that it's orange and kind of ugly, doesn't really match with the vibes up here, but this ladder, if you've ever heard a sermon or an illustration about a ladder, is a great way to illustrate one of the basic understandings of Christian faith and how Christianity is different than every other world religion, okay, every other belief system. And the idea is this, that ultimately our goal is to be with God, right? Or to be in that perfect place where life is great and easy, right? All belief systems generally preach that message on some level. The difference is that where most belief systems will tell you that there is a list of things to accomplish or to do or things you're not supposed to do in order to get close to God. Right? Wow, this is kind of fun up here. This is good. I feel like an old school preacher up here looking down at you all. While most belief systems will tell you there are things you should do or not do to get close to God, Christianity is the one belief system in the world that says God came down to us. That's the one unique attribute. One of the unique attributes about Christianity is that it's the only belief system in the world that says you don't have to meet certain standards or measurements in order to be close to God. Instead, God came down to us. Jesus came down to us to be present with us. And we often make the mistake, I think, during Christmas time, of just focusing on like the cuteness of the story, the narrative of Christmas, right? We love the idea of a baby and a manger and the animals and the nativity scene and like the Mary and Joseph aspect. Like, that's all really, really good. But we forget to focus on what this actually means for us. That this story around Christmas time actually represents one of the most powerful and foundational elements of the Christian faith. That God came into the brokenness of the world. That God entered in to meet us where we're at instead of asking us to go find him. So when we talk about Christmas presence, what we're going to do is we're going to think about what does it actually mean for us that God did this for us? What does it actually mean that Jesus came to be present with us here in this world? Thus the title, Christmas Presence, okay? So Jesus is present with us. Therefore, you can ask yourself these questions, all right? What does that mean, or what could that mean for you today or during this particular holiday season with whatever you've got going on in your life right now? You can also ask yourself, what does this mean? Jesus came into the world. What does this mean for the rhythms and routines of your daily life? And finally, I would ask you this question. What does the presence of Jesus in our broken world mean about who you are as a person? If he came into the brokenness for you, what does that say about how valuable you are to God? These are the questions we're going to explore as we talk about the different realities of what it means that Christ came into this world, born in a manger, Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, we look around and it is easy for us to see the beauty and the pain of this earthly existence. And while God, we might feel tempted to want to escape this world, we believe that you've called us to live in it, and not only to live in it, but to be joined by you in it. That you came in all your glory and perfection, you came to be among us, to see us, to know what it's like to be human. And God, when we understand that as a foundation of everything else you've taught us, it can transform our lives. So God, would you be present with us today? Would you allow us a moment to calm our breathing, to open our ears, to open our minds, to hear the words that you want to whisper to each of us here this Sunday morning? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 2024 results of the American Psychiatric Association's annual mental health poll show that U.S. adults are feeling increasingly anxious. Surprise, surprise, right? 43% of adults say they feel more anxious than they did in the previous year. Adults are particularly anxious about current events. That's about 70% of adults, especially the economy, 77% of adults. When asked about a list of lifestyle factors potentially impacting their mental health, adults most commonly say stress, 53% of adults, and sleep, 40%, that those things have the biggest impact on their mental health. Younger adults, ages 18 to 34, are more likely than older adults to say social connection has the biggest impact on their mental health. Despite the increasing anxiety, most adults have not sought professional mental health support. In 2024, just 1 in 4 adults say they talked with a mental health care professional in the past year. Notably, younger adults, 18 to 34, are more than twice as likely as older adults to have done so. Our small group that Hillary and I are a part of on Sunday nights are reading a book called The Anxious Generation. It's not a Christian book necessarily, but it certainly provides some wisdom and some clarity around this anxiety problem that is plaguing our culture and our nation, and it digs really deep into the reasons why this is happening and what that is. You add on to these things, this is the holiday season. We just got through Thanksgiving. Now we prepare for Christmas, and we have what Hillary likes to call her fancy Christmas anxiety, right? Like, it's an extra level of it during this season. And you start to realize that we are in one of the most stressful times of the year, if not one of the most stressful times in all of our collective generation's time of living. So what is one of the most important things that this world is looking for from our Emmanuel, which means God with us? I think one of the most important things we're looking for, or ought to be looking for, is peace. Peace in the chaos of this existence, this life that we're all living. My definition for peace, at least as it pertains to today's message, is an inner state of calm and confidence. Okay? An inner state of calm and confidence. And the big idea of today is going to be that because Jesus has come, peace and performance are opposing forces. Because Jesus has come, peace and performance are opposing forces. The story I want to read to you all, or have us read together, is from the book of Luke. I suspect that many of you will recognize this story, but we're going to take a little bit different spin on it here this morning. So this is going to be from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Again, it's a story I suspect many of you recognize. It feels fitting for the holiday season, so I would ask for a little audience participation here. Okay, we just got through Thanksgiving, right? And I don't know what specifically you did during Thanksgiving, but whatever it happened to be participating in probably had to do with food and family, traveling, hosting, one of those things. Okay, so raise your hand if during Thanksgiving you felt like Mary, calm and relaxed and focused on Jesus. It's okay, just be honest. This is good. Okay? Raise your hand if you felt a little more like Martha. Busy, frantic, prepping, hosting, doing tasks, okay? Fair amount of the room. Raise your hand if you felt like the lazy guy sitting in the living room watching football. Like, where are the guys in this story? Like, what's going on? Like, Martha's like, Lazarus, like, Jesus is here. And he's like, okay, 1 minute, I'll be right there. Like, what are the guys doing here? Like, no, actually, okay, we're being a little hard on you guys. I wanted to say, this is totally unrelated, but it actually matters that I say this to you guys, okay? I know a lot of you guys here in the room. Not all of you, but I know a lot of you. And I want you to hear someone tell you today that you are doing a great job. Really. Truly, I mean that. You're doing a great job. I see the way that you are giving of your time. I see the way that you are trying to figure out what it really means to be a man in today's world, where a lot of the metrics of old don't seem to apply anymore. I see you as you're playing on the floor with your kids and grandkids. I see you getting your families here to church. I see you working your behinds off. I see you trying to have a healthy body and heart and mind and soul, serving with humility, pursuing God, most importantly, pursuing God. And a man who pursues God is a man who transforms the lives of the people around him. So way to go, guys, way to go. Okay, that's an aside. So let's analyze this story, okay, for just a minute. We've got Martha working in the details of hosting and preparing the meal. You've got Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And at first glance, like the Sunday school version of understanding this story might say, you've got a good option and a bad option. Okay, good option A is to be Mary and just focus on Jesus. Bad option B is to be Martha and to be too busy, okay? Now that's too simplistic, okay? That doesn't pass the sniff test because I don't think anyone here is trying to vilify Martha for working hard, right? That's not what the story is about, okay? So we got to dig a little bit deeper. So the next layer, you might say, okay, so Martha isn't bad for doing all the things that she's doing, right? So instead, maybe you have like a good option, which is Martha trying to serve out of humility, and a better option or a best option, which is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you might think, okay, that makes sense, but I also think that is overly simplistic in understanding this story. So what I want to do today is I want to use this story and do an exercise with it. As you think about the picture of Mary and Martha in this scene, you got a lot going on. I want, instead of you to picture yourself in there and think that it's describing behavior, I want you to picture Mary and Martha as two explanations, two different ways for us to have an inner state of living, an inner way of living. Martha version, Mary version. Two characteristics or depictions of possible realities of our inner life. Two states of being, one being the performance state and one being the peace state, okay? So let's take a look at Martha first, this performance state of mind. You'll see in verse 40, it says that Martha was distracted. She was distracted by the big dinner. The word there in the Greek language is periaspato, which essentially means that her attention was drawn away from the burden of her duties. Her attention was drawn away by the burden of her duties. How many of you feel like your attention can get drawn away by the burden of your duties? It's actually the only case of this word being used in the New Testament, except for in 1 Corinthians, where Paul uses an anti-version of this word, a periaspato, to say, to write, I say this to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Your undivided devotion to the Lord. So Mary is distracted. Her attention is divided away, pulled away from where it should be. Let's look at verse 41. Jesus clarifies this concept even more. He says, Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. The ESV translate these two words as anxious and troubled. Worried and upset, anxious and troubled. One of these concepts in the original language speaks to the idea of her mental and emotional state. That idea of being worried or anxious. It's the same Greek word that's used in Philippians 4:6. Many of you know the verse that says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about it. It describes her internal state. The second word refers to the way that her actions affect those around her. Okay, notice that for a second when it says upset. When it says upset or troubled, it refers to the way that her actions affect those around her. Almost gives a sense that her upset is actually ruining the experience for others in the room. It's kind of like killing the vibe a little bit, okay? Martha represents the tendency that all of us have to get sucked into a belief that what I do and how well I do it defines who I am. This idea that what I do and how well I do it defines who I am. For me, in my own life, I look at my day-to-day, my busyness and the things that stress me out, the things that cause me to lose sleep. And I heard this illustration once, and it makes perfect sense for the way I think. It's like I've got all of these glass balls that I'm trying to juggle in the air. And I've got more glass balls to deal with than I've got hands to hold. And as I go through my life, I'm just trying to keep an eye on everything and keep it up in the air and keep it alive and make sure that none of them breaks, because if they break, then I would be a failure. If they break, I would be causing harm. If they break, I would be doing a bad job and I would be making God angry or something. I would be failing. I would ask you to take a minute to think about what are those things for you? What are the glass balls that you are juggling in life right now? It's different for all of us, but we all have them. We worry and we feel anxious because we think that we have to do well enough. This is a basic reality, and you might not think about it in these terms, but this is what's happening. We tell ourselves that we have to climb the ladder in order to be successful, that we have to keep the balls from breaking, that we have to be good at our jobs and be promoted through. We have to be good at parenting or good at being a spouse or good at being a grandparent, that we have to do things well enough in order for God to be pleased, in order for us to fulfill our purpose, all the Christianese that we throw on top of that, that we have to somehow be able to nail it and keep everything all controlled and all together all the time. And that's an American way of thinking, it's a human way of thinking, and it's something that bothers every single one of us. But we think that, well, when I am doing it well, when I am killing it, when I have got everything under control, then maybe I'll find peace. I can just say all the boxes are checked and everything's okay. How many times in your life have you actually experienced that to be true? Where you've done enough or done it well enough to be successful. Instead, what ends up happening is that this performance state of mind actually robs us of our inner peace. It actually steals that peace away from us. And the dark underbelly of this mindset, I want you to notice this, is that when we fall short, as all humans do, when we fail, then we go into this place of believing that we are actually further away from God. Do you need the illustration? We think we're climbing the ladder well, and then we fail, we mess up, we screw up, and we tell ourselves, uh-oh, now I'm further away from God because I did a bad job. When in that moment, that's the time that God wants to be closest to us. That's the time that God wants to be most present with us. Mary, on the other hand, if we look at verse 42, Mary has somehow, some way, figured out the one thing worth being concerned about. Look at that. Jesus says there is only one thing worth being concerned about. And I'm like, okay, what is that thing? Because I want to know what that is. Jesus is saying there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Tell me what it is, because I want to be concerned about that and only that. All right? This has to be the key. So think about it for a minute. All right? I want to challenge your mind to think about this. What is the one thing that Mary has figured out? What is the one thing that Mary has found out is to be concerned about, according to Jesus? Pause for thinking. You put an introvert up here to preach, and sometimes there's actually some silence and some quiet and some time to think and some white space, right? What's the one thing? And I'll give you a hint. It's not about having actions or inactions, as if working or serving is bad and Mary has figured out, well, then I should that you're just supposed to rest all the time. That's not what it is. And I don't think it's about proximity, as if Mary has figured out you just have to be really, really close to figure out where Jesus is and be really close because Martha is actually far away from God. And I don't even think it's primarily about time, as if to say that Martha is wasting her time by working hard and serving, that she should be spending time with Jesus. I think the one thing that Mary has figured out, that Mary has landed on, is awe. I picture Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, because she has realized that everything has changed now that God is present in the world. She realized everything is different now. Everything. God came to earth. Jesus is here, the one we've been waiting for, the one we need. And she's figured out that when you have an awe mindset towards the present Jesus, then it's not about your performance anymore. Your performance isn't the solution that we needed. It's not about how well the meal is prepared. It's not about how much you've got all your stuff together. It's not about how well you've proven you can do your job. It's not about the numbers in your bank account. It's not about how many people report to you, how well-behaved your kids are, how much you're admired by the community around you, how many followers you have or likes you get, how impressive your house is, how many Bible verses you've memorized, how many days you've gone without incident, or how many people attend your funeral. A mindset focused on those types of things is a mindset that leads to worry, upset, and anxiety, not the peace that Jesus came to give. Jesus is here. God is present, and everything is different now. He said himself in John 14, 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. There's no lack of clarity in that statement. There's no gray area. My peace is a gift that the world cannot give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Ask yourself this question. What am I making it all about? My rhythm, my time, my waking up, my prayers, my going to bed, my relationships. What am I making it all about? And if you can land on what those things are, you might start to see there's a connection between those things and the anxiety you're feeling and the worry you carry, the burdens you have. Now, let me make one note here, okay? One little aside about excellence and achievement and actions, okay? Then we're going to do a little example. I'm going to make myself an example for us this morning, and then we'll close out the day. Okay? Here's what I'm not saying. I am not saying that because Jesus came into the world wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, that what you do or how well you do it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that at all. Let me clarify. Peace, which is what we're talking about this morning, peace is a reality of my inner life. It's a state of mind. We get to choose when we wake up every morning whether or not we want to live in awe and awareness of the finished work of Jesus Christ, or whether we want to spin into frenzy and freak out. Our ability to experience peace is not linked. It doesn't have to be linked to our successes or our failures in life. That's the point I'm making, okay? Christ was born into a frantic and freaked out world, and he didn't come to squash all of those people and problems out of the world. He came to be in the world and to bring inner peace to those that followed him. In my outer life, my works, is kind of the churchy term for it, my job, my relationships, my service to others, my living out of my purpose and calling, peace is not primarily what God wants to give me. Because it's not a very peaceful existence we have. What God primarily wants to give me in my outer life is power. And there's a difference. There's a difference. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he knows how hard it is to plow the field. He knows how hard it is to do all the things that you all get to and have to do every single day. He didn't come to relieve us from the burden of responsibility. He came to share the load with us, to give us power, Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit, to love, to be joyful, to be patient, to be kind. Those are not fruits of a good Christian life or a good Christian doing good Christian things. Those are fruits that come out of a Spirit-empowered life. And there's a difference. One of my favorite verses is in Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." He is here to give us the power that we need to do the things that he needs us to do. Basically, that's a different sermon, okay? It's a different day. Today, we're trying to find inner peace. I hope that makes sense. Okay? I want to use myself as an example. As we come to a close, Tyler's going to come up here. And the example is like, I was trying to think, like, what causes me stress, anxiety, worry, those types of things. And I was thinking about this while I was preparing a sermon for you all. And I realized that for many honest pastors, if you ask them, preaching a message is one of the most anxiety-inducing activities we do. Because there's a lot of opinions out there. A lot of stories out there, right? And many of us feel called to do this, so we want to do it well. So I'm going to use myself as an example, and I'm going to use today preparing and delivering this message, okay? It's an extremely anxiety-inducing thing, and what I want you to be thinking about is the anxiety-inducing activities in your own life, okay? So I'm getting ready to prepare this message and bring it to you all here today. My questions are this: does Jesus come to take all of that responsibility away from me? Like, does he just take it off my plate and say, like, I'm just going to write the sermon for you, Luke. You don't have to do anything. No. That's not what Jesus comes to do. It's still my job. It's still my joy to be able to do it. Okay, so does Jesus come to give me all the answers? Just say, like, don't even worry about it, Luke. Like, just show up and I'll just stand up there and open your mouth and words will just start coming out and they'll just all be from me. No. Right? Then I'm just a puppet and I have no agency. I have no creativity. So does Jesus want to collaborate on all these tasks? That, like, yoke is easy idea? Like, let's write the sermon together, Luke. Let's do it together. I think yes. Yes, for sure, on some level. And that can help me find some peace in knowing that. But now we're doing a group project. And group projects give me more anxiety. So what's the deal? Why did Jesus come? Where am I supposed to find peace, this inner state of calm and confidence? And it hit me. It's not really about the sermon, Luke. If you want to find peace, you need to realize that your ability to perform or deliver a great sermon isn't going to be the source of peace for you. That's not what it's about. Jesus is here. Whether or not I do a good job or succeed will not change what he has already done. Jesus' presence in our world has already made me worthy and valuable and forgiven and beloved. And I will seek his power to try to live in accordance to his will, but I'm going to do so from a peaceful inner state. And if you too want to experience peace this holiday season and beyond, I would encourage you to start by following Mary's example. Make it your number one priority every day to carve out some space to sit in awe of him. And there's a lot of ways we can do this. Many of you have practices that you already take care of in your life that help you to connect with Jesus on a daily basis. We wanted to set you up for success if you don't have enough Advent activities in your life yet, okay? On your way out today, someone's going to give you this sheet. And on the sheet is 30 stickers. Encourage you to grab a notebook of some sort and every day take a look at the sheet. Grab one of the stickers that seems fitting for the day and just do that activity. do that thing. Not as another checkbox, not to so that you did good church job. So that you can carve out the space to remember that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. It's not about your ability to perform. It's about your ability to experience the inner peace that comes with knowing Jesus is here. Would you stand for me? As you go out today, I want to remind you that every Sunday we have a group of people in that corner back there ready to pray with you or for you or for anyone in your life for anything, whether it's a celebration or a struggle or anything in between. That group would love to pray for you and with you before you leave here today. Out in the hallway out here, we have something called our Next Steps table. So if you've been coming to Westgate for more than a few weeks and you don't know someone's name or someone doesn't know your name, please stop by. Or if you have any question about what's going on, you can stop by that table. And one final reminder about the Giving Tree being due this week. What I want to do before we go is I just want to practice together what it feels like to just be present with Jesus. All right? So I'm going to pray for us. And I want you to do your best to block out what's going on outside and just center yourself on the inside for right now. God, you know our story. You know who we are. And you know what it's like to live in this world. You've done it. You see the worry and you see the fear, the upset inside each one of us. Help us to see you, God, that you are here right now. God, would you release us from the expectations we put on ourselves? Would you remind us that what we define as success in this world has almost nothing to do with what you define as success? And would you remind us that there is no place we can go that you aren't there? There is nothing we can go through that is overwhelming to you. The work of Jesus Christ is finished. And his presence with us and our presence with him goes on forever. And so, God, as we go on today, we ask for only one thing, that one thing that Mary found, to be in awe of how amazing and good you are. And when we do that, God, would you give us the peace we're seeking? In the name of Jesus Christ, all God's people said, amen. Thank you all for being here. Have a great day.